Now on Sky Sports Radio, it's time to chinwag with Cozzy.
28 to 11. Been looking forward to having a chinwag with Brian Fletcher at Hawkesbury in the big weekend coming up. And I reckon an emotional one too for Brian. Morning, Brian. How are you?
Good, thanks, Sean.
Is it an emotional weekend, this one?
Look, it is. It is and it isn't. It's, I've had a great career there. I've been there for 26 and a half years, so I've enjoyed it. The club's been very good to me. And I'm happy to be moving on, and I think a fresh set of eyes over the place will do Hawkesbury the world good, and I'm looking forward to my new challenge with the Panthers group.
I was going to ask you that when you said, like, 1989, you moved from Coonamble to Hawkesbury, wasn't it?
Yes, October 1989.
Do you think sometimes, and as you've had a good stint there and you've said, right, it's a fresh set of eyes, do you think sometimes that's what is required at race clubs? And I'm not casting any aspersions on you whatsoever, but often fresh eyes bring fresh ideas.
Well it does, yes. And, the club's in a very good financial position, so, and it sort of gets a bit routine after you've been there for a while. You know how to do things successfully and you continue to do that. So you might be able to do it a bit more successfully, and hopefully Greg can do that. Greg's young, he's the right age to be taking over there, and I'm sure, you know, he'll lead the club into a new era, which will be good, and he'll have new ideas, and he's got a very good racing knowledge behind him, so they're in good hands going forward, put it that way.
Brian, were you part of the process of selecting your successor?
I had my opinion on it, and I actually earmarked Greg to go to the Gold Coast. I was asked by the chairman, Brett Cook, up there, who do I think would make a good CEO for the Gold Coast a couple of years ago, and I suggested Greg Rudolph. And Greg would have got the job, only that his wife wouldn't travel at that stage, move. So fortunately for Hawkesbury, Greg's going to Hawkesbury now, so Hawkesbury's benefited from the Gold Coast as a little bit of bad luck.
Now, the stand alone, this must give you enormous satisfaction when you look at the meeting on this weekend and thinking, I'm a part of this.
Yes, this is the 11th year, back 11 years ago, where we had our first one, which probably took 3 or 4 years to fight the AJC and the STC for one of them to give a date up. And then they finally did, and as I said, 11 years ago, we ran our first one. It was highly successful. Most of the sponsors that we've had back from day one are still with us today, and it's racing now. Back then, we raced for $560,000. Tomorrow, we're racing for $1.165 million. And so it's gradually just sort of been more successful financially over the years.
Now, you mentioned that most of the sponsors involved in that first one have stuck with you through the 11 years. Getting sponsors on board these days is not always an easy task. What, you must have done something right for them to hang in there with you all the way.
Well, these sponsors have been major sponsors, and when you're racing with this sort of money, the sponsors tip in a lot of money, and the main thing is what we've done with the sponsors is we've looked after them, and I think that's the main thing. That's why they stay with you. We look after them, give them good service, and they enjoy the success of the day and seeing the big crowds on the racetrack as well. And I think they like to be associated with a big event. And we've turned this day into a big event, so hopefully they'll continue on for many years to come.
There'll probably be officials from race clubs all around the state listening to you at the moment, thinking, can we pick up a few tips from Fletcher? Looking after sponsors, is that simply the key to it, just really look after them well?
Well, they're hard to find, and when you find them, if you look after them, they'll come back. You don't have to go and find a new one. That's the success in the whole story of sponsorship, is looking after the ones when you get them. Make sure you don't lose them, and then you don't have to go and find a new one. So it makes your job easier as well. And like these people, like the Richmond Club, Godolphin, Forex, the Hawkesbury, Forex Gold Rush, they've been Blacktown workers. So they've been with us for day one, and they tip in a lot of money. Panthers is another sponsor that's been... Panthers have been with Hawkesbury for something like 20 years, the same as Blacktown workers. And but they enjoy it. We look after them, and they're kind to us as well, which is great.
Now, I'm going to give John Singleton credit for a quote, and I'm pretty sure it was he who said it, and it really simplified marketing. He said, marketing's easy. Just find out what they want and give it to them.
Exactly. That's the whole story. Where do you want your name? How many times do you want to be mentioned? How many people do you want to come to come to the function and so forth, and then so you've satisfied all their needs. So, but yeah, that's simple. Just what they want, give it to them and charge them the right price for it. And it's like everything, Sean, both parties have got to win. There's enough there for both of us. There's no need for one party to get all the credits. There's enough for both parties. So, and that's the way I look at it. And that's been part of the success. And having the sponsorship lady or girl to look after them, or gentleman, and make sure they are well looked after.
In an effort to achieve all those, do we sometimes go the other way and overcomplicate things?
Of course we do, yeah. Life is so simple, and you'll find out, I've seen it over the years, that things that go downhill, they go downhill because they were all overcomplicated, and then to get a start up again, they go back to basics. Like, it's just like in the club industry. Like, it's all about your service to your members. Your members are your boss. And if you don't give them what they want, they can sack you. The rules are pretty simple.
Now, another thing you've been involved in, and this is something I know close to your heart, is charities, in particular the Pink Fins charity and the Back to Coonamble Cancer Patients Race Day. I mean, that's something you're passionate about, obviously, for family reasons, but how important is that to a club to be involved in the community and be seen to be putting something back?
Well, look, it's enormous, Sean. We have probably 10 race meetings out of our 25 a year that are tied around a charity, where we get from 300 to 400 people in the Ted McCabe Centre, and they raise, like the Pink Fins charity, which is a local Hawkesbury charity for breast cancer, they raise $100,000 there each year at a race meeting with about 400 people in the function centre. It's good for our business. We charge them a price for the meal and the beverages and everything, so we make some dollars out of it, and they raise a lot of money for charity. So it's good for the race club, good for the local district, and it's great to be associated with a charity which is, you know, so in need of money.
I suppose you would get the rub off too with people saying, that was a good day out, we'll come back to the races.
Well, exactly, and you get new people come to your race course that's never been there before, and people, I had a charity that was associated with people from the Cronulla area, and they've never been out to Hawkesbury, and they just thought it was an old tin shed out there, because, you know, when you come from Cronulla, it's like going out west to Hawkesbury, to Richmond, and they were surprised, and they've come back again. So they bring new clients to your racetrack, and it's a great way of selling your racetrack to the people generally, and also of yourself making a few dollars as well as the charity.
Brian, is it a fine balancing act looking after a race club, thinking how much do we spend on amenities, knowing that they'll probably only be 100% utilised maybe once or twice a year?
Yeah, well, that's Sean, we're in the process of that at Hawkesbury at the moment, getting some plans drawn up for a grandstand. Some of the board thinks that we should have a big grandstand, and others think differently. I think differently. I think we should have a members area near the winning post built up for about 400 or 500 people, one big open floor. And then on top of that, we should have corporate boxes where we can make some money. Because, as you said, we've got 25 meetings. Like, there's only probably 20 of them where the grandstand... There's only five of them where the grandstand is full, because the others are during the week, or they're on a Tuesday or something, where they're just run-of-the-mill race meetings. But I think you just need to build some corporate areas to make some money to keep going.
These days we see major golf events where they literally bring in the portable grandstands and pop them up. Do you think that will be a way of the future for some country clubs?
I don't think so, Sean, because everything you hire is very dear. Mm. I know myself, before I built the Ted McCabe Function Centre, we used to have big marquees there for 200 or 300 people. But at the end of the day, the only people that made any money were the hiring company.
Yeah.
They get all the money. I charge the people to come. I finish up with nothing. The people that come, they're half happy with it. The hiring facilities are not the best facilities. And so it's not a real good win in that situation. No, I wouldn't think that'll be a way for the future.
Looking at days for racing, which is your preferred day? Is it a Saturday or a Sunday if you've got to have a weekend meeting?
Saturday and Sunday, like naturally Saturday on your own, mm-hmm. where you don't clash with us, because we're so close to the city, is the best day for us for sure. But you can't have many of those because the two city tracks have got a race. otherwise, apart from that, a Sunday's a good day for us. As long as there's a charity or it's got a theme to it, if you just had an ordinary Sunday and so we'll put a race meeting on and hope the people would come, it's an ordinary day. So we've got a theme at like Christmas in July or on there. We've got three Sundays in December where we have our Christmas parties where all our corporate areas are sold out. But they're three very financial race meetings.
Racetracks these days too, Brian, are often used for other purposes to get extra income in apart from race day, and that can be for conferences, for weddings, for 21st birthdays, whatever. You actually built a motel.
Yes, Sean, back 10 years ago, I woke up one morning and at an area where we were parking three buses on this big area. I thought to myself, it'd be make a good place for a motel, and I never had a clue how to build one, but I was fortunately, I ran into an architect who built one a couple of years earlier, and I was telling him about what I dreamt up, and he said, I'll draw you up some plans, Brian. So we went from there and we built one, and it's been highly successful. Like, it brings in an income of $600,000 to $700,000 a year for us, and it's been, we paid it off after 4 years, so it's got no debt to it, and it's not a cheap motel. It's $175 a night for that area, but it's worth well into the 70% occupancies with it. So it's a very good business, and it's the same business as sponsorship. Once the people come and stay with us, if we've got very clean rooms and very good service, they'll come back, and that's what we try to maintain.
Brian, where would Hawkesbury Race Club have been today without that motel?
It would struggle. It wouldn't have the facilities it's got. It wouldn't have probably a bluegrass training track. It wouldn't have probably the Ted McCabe Centre. It would be smaller. There's all those things it's allowed us to do, and it's allowed us to advertise the place better as well. We wouldn't have all the weddings and conferences we have at the racetrack, because the flow onto that is we've got a motel. So we've got a very good conference, a very good wedding business attached to the race club now. So all that's came from building a motel.
Now, the move to the Panthers, you've been on the board there for a while.
Yes, I joined the board 5.5 years ago on the invitation of the Panthers committee at the time, and I spent 3 years as a director, and then I moved to vice chairman, and in July last year I was appointed chairman of the Panthers group.
Now, I saw one report where there's been a bit of movement in the administrative area. A few changes there?
Yes. our previous CEO, Warren Wilson, he left for personal reasons, and then the board had a meeting unbeknownst to me with Phil Gould, and they came up with a proposal that I became the group CEO, which was never on my radar. And so after some careful consideration and discussing it with my wife and two daughters, I made the decision. I thought it was time for a change, and I felt I was comfortable taking the position because I'd been on the board and been in positions of vice chairman and chairman, so I had some idea how it run. But I thought once I got here, I'd be overawed by it, so big. But I've been here since the 1st of March on and back with the Hawkesbury Race Club, and I feel very comfortable with it. The group is in a very good financial position. Our football team is very good, and all the structures are right there under our coach, Ethan Griffin and Phil Gill. So the future looks very good here as well.
Now, Brian, I'm thinking the Singo principles have been going to be carried across there. There's a quote here from you, which a lot of people are going to fall out of their cars here. This you don't get this from the boss often. He says, and this quote is from you. Tell me whether it's right or wrong. One important thing we've lost sight of a bit is of the members. We were too greedy on the bottom line. We need to give the members something back, and we also need to look after the lower tier of paid staff a bit better as well, unquote.
Well, that's the fact. We lost sight of that, unfortunately, the higher management had. And since I've been here, we've changed a few things, given leave entitlements and so forth back to the staff, and they're really appreciative of it. And plus, if you give them a little bit, they work a lot harder as well, and they're all good staff. And I always believe the people at the top don't need to get all the money. It needs to be shared right down the chain, and we'll do that, and we've lost sight to a certain degree of our members. We need to look after them better, and we're starting to do that and getting the reports back from them that they're happy with a few changes we've made. We've got a long way to go yet and a lot of things to do, but we'll get there, and we won't make big changes overnight, but we'll do it slowly and make sure we're heading in the right direction.
It's amazing the difference you get from people when you treat them with respect, isn't it?
Well, I always say, and I've said in my position at Hawkesbury as a CEO there, would I like somebody to talk to my daughters like a bully? And the answer is no. So what right have I got as a CEO to talk to anybody else like a bully?
It's a fair point. Around about 12 years ago, your wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. That must have been a terrifying time for all.
It was, Sean. It was just one of those things that just came out of the blue, and she felt a lump in her breast one night, went to the doctor next day on the Tuesday, was operated on the Friday. That was a fortunate part of coming from the bush, some of the great things that happened to us. It's probably in the bush, you probably would have been to a doctor and then to Dubbo and then to Sydney. It all might have taken 6 months to get operated on, where here it all happened in a week. And then we're able to start the chemotherapy, get all that out of the road and so forth. And fortunate enough today, she looks $1 million. So it was a great success story.
And Brian, it's good that you've been public about it and got behind the charities, because too many people, male and female, women often go and have checks, blokes don't, and then they wonder why they're crook.
No, that's exactly right, Sean. Like, when I came to Sydney, a mate of mine from Penable, John Bryan, told me about the test he used to have at St. Vincent's and pay $800 a year and used to go and have head to toe. Well, I continued to do that for many, many years up until the last few years, and why I stopped, I'll never know. But I felt comfortable, because if I did have cancer somewhere, it would only be 12 months old. And I think that's, as you're saying, checks are the most important thing in the world. And if you do feel a lump in your breast or somewhere, just go straight away. Don't, I'm too busy. That won't help you when you're dying if you're too busy.
That must give you a lot of satisfaction those particular days, as I mentioned earlier on, the cancer ones, to see money raised and going to a great cause.
It does. And Sean, I've had, I'm still going to run on the 12th of June, my day for the Canamble Cancer Survival Fund, which I've had 3 years and of doing that. I've raised $250,000 so far for Canamble, and I'll raise another $80,000, so they'll get $330,000. And the idea of that was that the people who get diagnosed with cancer in Canamble have got all the expenses, 550Ks to Sydney, to come to Sydney for their treatment or to their doctors and so forth. And there's two lovely ladies in Canamble who started up a cancer fund and used to give the people $250 for their travel expenses and so forth. And I was talking to Ray Murray, who was the head of that, and Maureen Nairn, and I thought to myself, $250 wouldn't get you to Dubbo from Canamble. So we've started these days. We now give the people $2,500 to come to Sydney. It pays their expenses, gets them home, and it makes them their frame of mind a little bit better when they know they can come to Sydney. And, then they haven't run out of funds or they haven't got funds to come. We can get them here and we can get them back home. So that was the idea of doing that.
And, Brian, it's probably not so much the financial support but the emotional support that people think someone else cares.
Oh, it is, yeah. That's because a lot of these people that get diagnosed with cancer, some of them are lonely people, some of them are single people with children and they've got nobody to turn to. And that's where this fund in Canamble and the ladies who run it, they go there and give them that personal care as well and a bit of love. That's what they're looking for. And because, they're in a difficult time. When you get told you've got cancer, it's not a fun time. I've been through that myself personally, and you get a bit scared.
Now, synthetic racetracks, what's their future?
Well, I think they're a great future, yes. I don't know about racing on them. I haven't got enough knowledge on that. But training-wise, yes, they're just essential, and they've got to be put in all the major areas. That's just a no-nonsense thing, that. And with Racing New South Wales, just allocated $2.2 million to Hawkesbury to put our synthetic track in, which I've left that to Greg to do. So he's got a job to do when he starts. The trainers will be under his back to get that put in immediately. And that'll be a big bonus to the training facilities at Hawkesbury.
Sometimes when we had a year or two ago where we copped a lot of rain, a lot of meetings washed out, and we're in real strife. Do you think there is the opportunity there to race something synthetic or just leave them for training?
Yeah, well, you do. You think that at the time when you have 4 or 5 minutes washed it, oh, why haven't we got a synthetic track or something? At the end of the day, I think it's probably good we get a few washed out every now and then because that time of the year, it's winter when it mainly happens. Fields are small. Everybody's looking for a bit of a rest because it's early start. So if you had a few washed out, what it does, it builds the future fields up in that time of the year. So there is a benefit out of it, and I just see everybody gets a bit of a spell instead of going around every day of the week.
It's a bit like bugging the humans out in the paddock for a week or two.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give them that little bit of a freshen up.
And, yeah.
And the officials as well, Brian.
Well, that's right. Yeah, no, it doesn't hurt. And, look, you'll go the next winter and you won't lose a meeting, but when it all comes, it's always the same story. Oh, yeah, we need a synthetic track to race on and all that. Well, I think you'll find that they're good for training, but I don't think they're good for racing.
All right. Through the years there, I'd like to look back at some of your highlights. What's the one moment, if I said racing at Hawke's Peak, the moment that springs to mind immediately?
Probably the first standalone Saturday, Sean. That was the day that I'd put so much work in and had so many blues with the two head clubs to try and get the date, and to see it finally come to fruition was probably, the highlight of the racing side of things.
Now, best horse you saw there?
Chautauqua.
Take a bit of beating.
Yeah, no, pretty hard to beat Chautauqua. It won the 2014 Blacktown Workers Hawkesbury Guineas.
Now, if you were going to throw your colours into the room, which jock would you hope would pick them up?
Over the years, you're talking about?
Yeah, over the years, yeah.
Yeah. Just with the dealings I've had with all jockeys and so forth, they've been great. But if I had to throw them into the ring and said, Brian, who's the jockey that you've respected most and that you'd give the colours to would be Rodney Quinn.
Fair. Really great rider, wasn't he, Rodney?
Yeah, lovely. And just a champion guy. He was a good person. That was more important.
Now, for trainers there as well, when you look back over the years, been some great trainers go through the place. You got some nice memories?
Yes, I have. And look, the trainers have been good to me. And I want to make a special note of a trainer, Peter Snowden. Ever since I started the standalone Saturdays, he promised me that he'd look after me and make sure he'd help me make it a success by bringing big numbers. And he's done that every year. He's been absolutely outstanding to the cause of the standalone Saturday. And I couldn't thank him enough. And he's back here again tomorrow with a heap of horses again in his own right, apart from being the Godolphin trainer prior. But he's just been outstanding for the club.
I noticed looking at the cup, the Gold Cup, the Panthers Hawkesbury Gold Cup, he's got a couple in there, Pajero, great esteem.
Yes, yeah, I think Pajero will be hard to beat. His run the other day was quite good.
Can we get a tip for me? You've obviously had a look for Saturday. Now, what, anything stand out there that we can perhaps get a little last-minute earn out of Brian before you go?
Yes, I think in the Godolphin Crown, I like one at 20-1, Peace Force.
Oh, all right. In the good
trained out at Hawkesbury by Gerald Ryan,
yeah,
new stables, and goes very well second up, and I think it's been set to the race for sure, and it'll be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, I'm just having a look here, second up, six goes, 3 wins and 2 seconds. It does go real well. It's had a couple of trials under its belt.
Yes.
So you might be on the money there. When does the move take place to the Panthers, Brian? Do you have a little break or do you go straight there?
No, I'm straight. I finish up on Saturday with Hawkesbury and I'll be here on Monday to start full-time. I've been part-time sort of at both of them at the moment and it's been a bit of a haul, but we're getting there. They're both in good shape. So, but I'll be here on Monday as a new group CEO of the Panthers group, and hopefully we can win a game of football on tomorrow as well at 3 o'clock against Canberra and Bathurst, and we have a successful day at Hawkesbury. Well, that'll give me a pretty good weekend.
That'll be fantastic. Finally, if you were to give one bit of advice to CEOs and race club secretaries around the state for success with their club, what would it be?
I think it's just respect the participants and look, don't overcharge the people that are going to come to your place. And don't be frightened to give away as many free tickets as you can, apart from your big day, because you know, it's hard to get people there, so you've got to make it attractive for them to come. So make it cheap. Look after them when they get there. And if they have got a complaint, give them the courtesy of listening to it and just say, look, you'll do something about it. And the main thing I've always found when I come out of a board meeting, all the little things that the committee asks you to do, make sure you go and do them in the next day or two and they're done. And you can't underestimate how it makes the board feel so good. You say, oh, God, he's went and put that sign up we asked him to do. But I've found a lot of secretaries at times, the little things they think, oh, we'll leave that till later, they're the first things you do.
Great advice, Brian. Been terrific to have a chinwag with you this morning. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Good luck Saturday and good luck with the Panthers as well. You might be able to get a daily double, eh?
Hopefully. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Fletcher, CEO at Hawkesbury for the moment. Great to have a chinwag with him this morning.